Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, the audience first marketing strategy you should be using, but you probably aren't. My name is Eliana Raggio, and I'll be your moderator today. Today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. For anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency, best known for our amazing SEO, the best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the award-winning Chameleon Responsive Website Platform. We've been awarded the Driving Sales Dealer Satisfaction Award for top-rated websites for an unprecedented 7th year in a row. We also took home the AWA Award for Best Websites 3 times, plus FCA and Ford announced that we're now an approved vendor. Big things are always happening over here at Dealer On. We're still the only company in the industry that offers a money-back lead guarantee program. Do you want to know more? Yeah, you do. You can check us out at DealerOn.com. Hey, if you have a Ford dealer, well, guess what? You only have 1 week left before the Ford Direct website program enrollment period expires on April 30th. If you'd like to work with the best website provider in the program, that's right, Dealer On, well, you only have 1 week. So get in touch with me after the show and let me help you get into the program. And we have a great show in store for you today. We're very pleased to have Dealer On's very own Orko Chatterjee as our presenter today. Orko Chatterjee is the Director of Advertising Solutions and Strategies at Dealer On. The expertise Orko brings to Dealer On started with a career at Google, which he honed for the auto industry after 3 years with Cox Automotive as an advertising strategy manager. Orko plays a huge role in building Dealer On's advertising division, and he continues his legacy today by bringing the latest trends and innovations to our SEM team. He holds a bachelor's degree in psychology from St. Xavier's College and is also AdWords, Bing, and Google Analytics certified. Orko lives in the Washington, D.C. area, spends time hiking, reading, or checking out local theater shows, and he can be reached at achatterjee@dealeron.com. Now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we're going to try to respond by email later today. Don't forget, a link to download a copy of your webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference. Feel free to share it with some friends and colleagues. And guess what? Our good friends at AutoHook are sponsoring this week's webinar giveaway. AutoHook is a showroom traffic driver. They've built the ultimate attribution engine, which tracks that customer through the lead, showroom visit, and purchase, and then delivers a cost per sale that's best in the industry. One of you lucky webinar attendees will win a $125 e-gift card from AutoHook. You have to be on the live broadcast to win it, though, so stay tuned, and you could be the one walking away with this awesome prize today. And for more information about AutoHook, visit driveautohook.com. Also, at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to get a short survey. It's 3 questions, so fill it out. We're always looking for quality feedback from our audience, and we want to hear what you have to say about today's show. And hey, do you tweet much? We hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation, so tag us in it. You can use hashtag DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. You can also hit up Orko at, hey, you guessed it, Orko. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. All right, everyone, let's get started. Let's learn the audience-first marketing strategy you should be using but probably aren't. Orko Chatterjee, how are you, sir? Good to have you on the show. By the way, audience, it's his first time doing a Dealer On webinar, so let's give him a nice, warm Dealer On webinar. Welcome. Yay! Orko, how you doing, babe?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Eliana.
Now, when we were discussing your topic and you said, hey, enough dealers aren't using this audience-first strategy, I'd never heard of it. I didn't know it was a thing. So I'm so glad you're bringing something that's so cutting edge to today's audience, and I know you have a lot to get to, so go ahead. Tell the audience the kinds of things we're going to be learning about today, and let's get into this.
Absolutely. So first off, thank you to everyone that's taken the time out of their day to attend this webinar. Some things that I'll be covering over the course of the next hour will be, you know, what really is audience marketing, the basics of it, how it's evolved over the last couple of years, how you should be thinking about building your own audiences, some specific strategies you can actually go back to If you are a dealer that's doing this in-house or you're using an agency, we want to provide you with some actionable tips. We're going to go over a quick case study. We want to talk about user privacy because it's a hot topic and it's something that everyone should be aware of. And then finally, we're going to go into some of the key takeaways. We will also have a giveaway at the end of this and a question and answer session. And so that's sort of the scope of the webinar today. I'm excited to get started.
Let's do it. And audience, don't hold back if you have questions for Orko. He is a spectacular resource, so please make sure you send in those questions. We're looking forward to a great Q&A session. All right, Orko, what are we starting with?
Awesome. So let's start with what audience marketing really is. And to sort of get into that, let's start by defining what we mean by an audience, right? And so audiences at a very basic level are groups or segments of your users. So think about it from the perspective of users that are coming to your website, you know, your own CRM data, your DMS data, people that are showing up at your store, leads or third-party leads that you may be buying, are all audiences. How you use them is really what we're going to try and get at over the course of this webinar. And so you can have audiences based on browsing patterns. You can have audiences based on shopping intent. So when you're on the web and you're clicking around on a bunch of sites, Google and Facebook and 100 other companies are watching what you're doing and sort of trying to understand whether you're a buyer or you're just browsing because you're interested in something. You can also look at past behavior. You can look at how people are engaging with your site. You can look for loyal customers that come back to you on a repeat basis to your dealerships and, you know, classify all of those into audiences. Now, so let's start talking about what audience-based marketing is, right? And so here's a hypothetical question that I would pose to anyone who's in a dealership, right? Let's say that somebody came to you and said, you know, there are 6,000 shoppers in your market as a total, and we know that 200 of them are going to buy from you tomorrow. Would you prioritize your spend to pay more for them, right? My bet is if somebody actually came to you and said, hey, I know the 200 people that are going to buy a car in the market tomorrow, you would pay a pretty penny to do that. Now, unfortunately, we haven't gotten there yet. But what Google is telling us and through its own research has found is that, you know, returning visitors tend to convert almost 2 times higher than regular visitors on your site. And so as an industry, right, as agencies, we tend to pay a lot of attention to new visitors that are coming to your site. And we've somehow lost track of the fact that, you know, returning visitors are critical to your business. And it's something that you should absolutely be paying attention to and optimizing for. And so what audience-based marketing and what it boils down to is the art and science of prioritizing your users because they're more likely to interact or shop from your business. And so, you know, talking about a brief history of, you know, how audiences have evolved over time. And so, you know, in the early 2000s when internet advertising was evolving, getting better, you were able to target based on demographics. And so you could do, you know, age-based targeting. You could start doing gender-based targeting. You could even target to some degree based on income levels. Now, the demographics aren't really audiences per se, but it's important to know that it was a key part of the evolution of where audiences have gone. And so somewhere around 2012 or 2014, Google started coming up with what are called in-market audiences, which is basically Google identifying people that are showing shopping behavior online and identifying those shoppers that are likely to buy a car or are in market to buy a car. In about 2015 or 2016, they came up with a concept called remarketing lists for search ads. And so a lot of you as dealers or agencies have been doing remarketing for a while, and traditionally remarketing was that you would place a pixel on your website, somebody would come to your website, they would go out on the web, and you would follow them with an ad. But you did not have the ability to target those people on Google.com. And that ability was brought in, and it's a little bit of a game changer, and we'll talk about it in more detail as we go through this presentation. And then late 2017, Google actually came up with what are called life event targeting, and then, you know, custom intent audiences, which we will talk about as well. So how are audiences, if you look at audiences across Google and Facebook, right, or other channels that are using audiences or provide the ability to market to audiences, there are three key categories that your audiences can get bucketed into. So your first audience set is what are called behavior-based audiences. The second audience set is what are called list-based audiences. And the third is called lookalike or similar audiences. And you've probably heard, you may or may not have heard of these, you know, if your agencies have been talking to you about this or you've done your own research. And so very quickly, you know, behavior-based are essentially where Google or Facebook are noticing what people are doing online and then categorizing them. So you could categorize people by in-market shoppers, so people that are exhibiting strong buying behaviors. And so think about it this way. If you have a consumer in your market that's going to AutoTrader, that's going to Kelley Blue Book, that's going to your own website, that's going to websites, Google can pretty easily start saying, okay, this is a person or this is a group of people that are likely to buy a car in a certain span of time. The second category are what are called affinity audiences. And so affinity audiences are more to extend on what you're doing on TV. And so you can do affinity audiences for people that are generally interested in cars per se and not necessarily in the market to buy. On the newer side of things, you can now target by life events. And so if you're using YouTube advertising or if you're doing Gmail ads, life events will allow you to target people that have recently graduated from college, people that are moving out of a new home or moving into a new home. And then the last aspect of this is, and this is very recent, is called custom intent audiences. So if you go into Google or you go into Facebook, you can actually choose in-market shoppers or you can choose people that are looking or are interested in Toyotas or Hondas or whatever your brand may be. But what custom audiences allows you to do is to drill further, and we will talk about how you can actually create custom intent audiences later on in the webinar. List-based audiences are basically where you are taking your existing customer data and then starting to market to those people on Google and Facebook. And so your custom audiences, so your list-based audiences are called custom audiences on Facebook, and you can do what is called customer match on Google. And so the general principle here is that you can, you know, upload existing lists to either platform. And you know, one way to think about this is if you look at your CRM data today, and assuming that, you know, you're a well-run, well-oiled dealership, and you're using your CRM and your DMS well, do you have a list of customers that are prospects that did not necessarily convert? Do you have a list of customers, you know, who have purchased from you and, you know, may need their first service? Do you have a list of customers who are potentially at the end of their leases? All of these can become audiences that you can then use on Google and Facebook, and it's a very powerful way to reach the people and give them a more personalized message that they're far more likely to react to. And hence, this is why Google basically says that, you know, return visitors are so important to your business. You should not be ignoring them at any given point of time. Now, list-based audiences also have your traditional remarketing list, right? So you can have remarketing lists for new cars, used cars, people that didn't convert, people that were looking at certain body styles, people that, you know, showed a certain engagement with your website, whether that was time on site, pages per session, and so on and so forth. And so typically, you know, over the last couple of years, Dealers have been very focused on the remarketing side of things. You may have used custom audiences, but audiences, as I'm showing you now, is a much broader concept. And that's something that you need to start incorporating into your advertising on a regular basis. And it would be a mistake if you're not doing that. And so the final set of audiences that we're going to talk about are what are called similar audiences and what Facebook calls lookalike audiences, right? And so what you're doing there really is you're taking your existing remarketing list, and then what Google is doing is to match people to those remarketing lists. So remember that as a dealership, you're not getting, you know, the average dealership in the U.S. is getting about 8,000 to 10,000 visitors at any given point of time. And so you're limited in the number of shoppers that are coming to you. But what you can tell Google or what you can tell Facebook is, hey, I think that people that are exhibiting certain behaviors on my website are important to me. Could you go find other people that are exhibiting similar behaviors on the web? And that's what Google and Facebook will do. And it's an extremely powerful way to gain people or customers that are showing signs of shopping and that are likely to buy from you in a certain period of time. So with that, we're going to start talking about how you should start thinking about building your own audiences. And this is a point that I'm going to make that is very critical to dealerships is your dealership is unique. Your market is unique. The brand that you sell is unique. And so there is not one singular way to build audiences. And you should absolutely be thinking about building audiences for your own dealership that makes sense to you. And so what I'm going to talk about next is a couple of different approaches you can take to build out these audiences. And the first approach we talk about is by looking at the stage of the life cycle that the customer is in. And so you can look at your customer life cycle as three different phases, as an example, right? So your first could be people that are prospects, people that are interested in you but haven't necessarily made a purchasing decision. They haven't necessarily, contacted you, or they haven't necessarily said that, you know, they're buying from you. They may be cross-shopping other dealerships and so on and so forth. And this typically comes from your CRM data. So if you have a well-updated CRM, if you're seeing the number of ups that are coming to your dealership and you're classifying them properly, your prospects are an extremely important category that you can market to both on Facebook and Google. Now, the key thing to note about prospects is that they're in the market for a very short period of time. If they've already submitted a lead and they haven't contacted you or worked with you, it's very likely that they're going to make a purchase decision very quickly. And so you have to start using that data almost on a rapid-fire basis, on a daily, weekly basis, and you can't wait for it. The second category that we talk about is, you know, people that are shoppers that are showing interest in general. So they're not necessarily contacting you, but we know based on their behavior online that these are people that are likely to buy cars. And this is typically found in the systems themselves. So within Google and within Facebook, you can start targeting shoppers, so people that are exhibiting buying behaviors on the web. And then the third category or the third life cycle that you can think about is your existing customers or repeat customers. And you can look at this from a loyalty perspective, right? And this sort of data, again, comes from your DMS, it comes from your CRM, and you can start building lists that are focused on loyal customers. You can send them offers, coupons on Google and Facebook where the ads are more personalized to them. The second approach that we talk about is where you start building based on your campaigns. So if you're a dealer and you're running AdWords today, whether it's yourself or with an agency, I'm willing to bet that if you were to categorize all the keywords that you were buying, they would fall into two or three different categories. You would have your brand searches or your brand campaign. You would have your region and franchise campaign. You would have a new car campaign. If you're doing Facebook, again, you would break those out similarly, and then you could be doing some degree of display or remarketing. Now, here is where you can start creating audiences specifically by campaign type. And so you can have, you know, on your brand campaign, you could potentially target or bid higher on people that have been on your new or used car pages. You can target people or bid higher on people that did not convert. Similarly, for, you know, for new car campaigns, you can essentially start targeting people that have visited VDP pages, or you can create a goal with people that have seen photos. So we know in the automotive industry that, you know, there is a large correlation between people interacting with your photos, people looking at VDP views, to them eventually becoming shoppers. And so when these same people are back on Google searching, why wouldn't you prioritize them and bid higher on them, right? And so there's multiple approaches that we can talk about when it comes to building your audiences, but these are two important ones. So where you talk about building audiences by the lifecycle stage that the customer is in, or by adding audiences to every single campaign that you have. And there is no one better approach. You have to test and see what is going to work better for your dealership and your market. And so with that, I'm going to turn this over to Eliana for a quick poll question to sort of gauge where you guys are.
Thank you so much, Orko. Great program so far. All right, audience, we have three poll questions for you today. The first one is on the screen now. So now that we have a better idea of what an audience-first strategy is, we want to know, are you currently using an audience-first strategy? Please select one of the following answers. Yes, and it's working great for us. Yes, but we admit we're not seeing the results that we would like. No, we've heard about it. We thought about it. We just don't know where to begin. No, not yet. But you know what? This is sounding pretty good. Looks like we should probably. Or you know what? I'm not sure. My agency handles that for me, and I don't really know if we're using an audience-first strategy. Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close this poll, share the results, and then we'll all know what everyone's doing out there, all right? Votes are coming in nice and fast. Audience, you guys are so great today. Thank you so much for taking part in our poll questions. Like I said, we're going to have a few more coming up in a little bit. We hope you'll get involved with those as well. And don't be afraid to ask questions. I know Orko used to work for Google, and he sounds awfully smart, but you know what? These are the best kind of presenters to ask questions to. So ask your questions, and let's see if we can help you come up with an audience-first strategy that will dominate online. All right. Votes are still coming in, but Orko, I think I'm going to let this go for just another few more seconds, and then we'll close this poll and see what the audience had to say. Does that sound okay?
Absolutely.
All right, audience, I'm counting on you. Let's pull it out. Are you currently using an audience-first strategy? A few more seconds. We're going to close this poll. 5, 4, 3. Ooh, look at that. Boost in the numbers. Some people are voting. You must be asking. Are you turning to your coworker and asking? That's all right. We can do that. All right, let's close this poll and share the results. Now, this is very interesting results. All right, we asked if you're currently using an audience-first strategy. 39% of today's audience, the majority, said, yeah, and it's working great for us. Awesome. 17% of today's audience say yes, but they admit they're not seeing the results that they'd like. 13% of today's audience say they've thought about it, but they don't know where to begin. Hopefully this program is helping you out today. 13% said no, not yet, but they like the idea. Sounds like they should be doing it. And the remaining 17% said that they don't know what their agency is doing and they're not sure if they are, in fact, using an audience-first strategy. So, Orko, 39% said yes, and another 17% said yes, but they're just not seeing the results. That's the majority of today's audience are, in fact, using an audience-first strategy. Are you surprised by that?
That's actually really great. And what we want to see is, you know, more and more people adopting audiences. And so if you're already on that path, you know, more power to you. Absolutely.
Excellent. All right, where do we go from here?
So for those of you, you know, where you're not using audiences or you haven't started exploring this, it's sort of important to think about how, you know, the evolution of building ad campaigns is taking place. And so, you know, I was fortunate to have started out at Haystack, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, And so I've been able to see the evolution of the industry and the space over the last 7 years, right? And so, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, typically what agencies were doing is using three inputs. So right place, right time, right message. And so right place would include them setting up a radius around your store. Right time would say, okay, we'll set up ad scheduling for you. And the right message would be, let's try and build the most specific ad copy for a particular demographic criteria or for a keyword set. And then we sort of grew up a little bit. And so we went from going from radius targeting to zip code-based targeting. And so that reduced the amount of spend waste that you were seeing. We then started using more dynamic inventory-based approaches. I have my own thoughts on this. If you want to take that offline, I'd be happy to do it. The right message was where we started getting more, you know, specific. We started giving more specials and offers in the ads. And then the right time was, you know, again, we started making sure that we had a cohesive strategy that focused on these four things. But at the end of the day, you know, as marketing gets more complicated, as data sources start, you know, coming out of the woodwork, your agency and your partners in your marketing effort, or if you're doing this in-house, should be looking at five key things. One is, do you have the right audiences? So does every single campaign that you run on Google have an audience? Are you using audiences on Facebook? Are you bidding higher on those audiences? And what is your bid strategy for those audiences? Do you have the right inventory? So dynamic inventory is great. We offer it. Everybody else under the sun offers it. But are you focusing on what is on your lot and what you need to move in the next month or so? Are you in the right channels, right? So do you have a healthy mix of advertising channels? So are you completely search-focused, which is fine. If you don't have a very large budget, that's probably a good place to be. But if you do have slightly larger budgets, if you have larger DV budgets, consider having a holistic marketing strategy as opposed to just a singularly focused one. And then finally, you know, you want to start looking at attribution and ROI, which is becoming more and more critical. So you're spending thousands and thousands of dollars. How do you know how many cars were sold as a result of your marketing efforts? And from a targeting perspective, this is one thing that I would urge you guys to do if you're not doing it already, is, you know, zip code targeting is great. Radiuses are ancient. But what you should be focusing on really is profitability, not just your PMA. So if you were to look at your DMS data today, you looked at your front-end gross, your back-end gross, your total gross, it's almost guaranteed that, you know, the top 5 or 10 zip codes will drive almost 80% of your profitability, 80% of your sales. And so start getting more targeted with, you know, where you're targeting, maintain your profitability and increase it. Target the right people that are in market as far as possible. Focus on the right inventory that you need to move. And then try and measure your ROI at any given point in time. And so if your agency, or if, you know, you yourself having been, if you're doing this in-house, if you aren't asking yourself these five questions on a regular basis, then you may need to start, you know, looking at how you're doing things again a little more critically with a different lens. So with that, let's start going into some specific audience strategies that you can actually test. And I say test because there is not audiences, and a lot of what we're going to discuss in the next couple of slides are pretty new. And so there's not enough data to specifically say this will work for every dealer across the United States. But be bold. Take a chance, put a small budget, and A-B test it. Maybe it will work for you, maybe it won't. What we have seen is that this has worked successfully for a number of dealerships, and we feel a degree of confidence. You know, it's something that you can go back and use at any given point in time. So let's start with ROSA, so remarketing lists for search ads. So like I mentioned earlier, you know, historically, remarketing was only available on the display network. So what you would do is you would drop a pixel on your website, and then you would have ads follow people on the display network. Google then brought this concept to search, right? So you can now choose to add your same remarketing lists to your search campaigns. And this is a really effective way to use it. So let's start with an example, right? If you've been doing conquest campaigns or you've done conquest campaigns in the past, you know that conquest campaigns where, let's say you're a Toyota dealer or a Ford dealer and you're trying to buy another make and model that people are likely to cross shop, it's an extremely expensive proposition, right? You're paying almost $8, $10. Your quality score is, you know, practically non-existent, and it can be a very wasteful expenditure. Now, with RLSA, what you can start doing is, let's assume that you are a Ford dealer, and, you know, you have Ford Fusions on the lot, so somebody did an organic search for a Ford Fusion, they saw your particular site, they came to your site organically. What you should be doing, or your agency should be doing, is immediately you want to create a remarketing list for people that have visited some, or people that are showing interest in the Fusion. Then what you want to do is to set up your regular conquest campaign. And so you could start buying Toyota Camry, Honda Accord, but only focus on people that have come to your website and have looked for a Fusion. Because we know that when consumers are researching for vehicles, they are very likely to cross shop. So if somebody's looking for a Toyota Camry, it is not it's not out of the realm to expect that they're going to go back onto Google and search for the Nissan Altima, or that they're going to search for the Ford Fusion or the Honda Accord. And so take advantage of it, because you know that this person has been on your website and is probably interested in what you have to offer. And so create a cross, so when the consumer goes back and cross shops for a Camry, you know, you show up with a special offer that, you know, compels them to come back to your site. And then finally, you know, build comparison and offer pages that these people can go back to that has that same offer. And what you will start seeing is that the click-through rate on these campaigns is much higher than a traditional conquest campaign, and that your overall quality score is also increasing, and that your conversion rates are increasing as well. And so, you know, here's what that would look like within your AdWords campaign. And so, you know, you can have, so you can create a list for core models. You then apply that to your conquest campaign. You bid about 50% higher for those people. And what we found is that, you know, your click-through rate on conquest is almost 20%, which is not bad. And so your ad groups would sort of start looking like this. So this is a Toyota dealer. You have a Toyota Corolla. We know that the most likely cross-shop vehicle is going to be a Honda Civic. The same with the Toyota Camry is going to be the Honda Accord, and the RAV4 is going to have the CR-V. And so you can take the same approach to your dealership and try this out and see if it works from a conquest perspective. The second thing you can do, and so here we're just talking about conquesting models, but you can also conquest other dealer names that are not in your own brand. So what I mean by that is if you're a Toyota dealer, your covenant probably doesn't allow you to go buy another Toyota dealership name, but nothing stops you from conquesting other dealers, right? And so if somebody has come to your new car pages and they've shown interest in buying new cars, and let's say you are ABC Toyota, then those same people are going on to Google and searching for XYZ Honda, target them, hit them with an ad, tell them to come back, compel them to come to your website with an offer that makes sense for them, right? And you're going to start seeing that conquest can actually become a viable strategy that doesn't bleed you dry. There's one other topic that I want to focus on here. So if you guys have been following Google's micro moments narrative, right, Google's now talking about, you know, five key moments in the car shopping process, if you will. So what car is, you know, which car is best for me? Is it right for me? Can I afford it? Am I getting a good deal? And where should I buy? And so, you know, Google's data basically says that most dealers tend to spend money on which car is best, or, you know, are they getting a good deal? But most people are converting on the where should I buy, so basically your brand name and your regional name. Now, I would argue that what you can do with the power of audiences and with RLSA is, instead of, you know, spraying and praying for people buying Honda Accord review, use remarketing lists and only focus on people that have been to your site and have shown interest in buying, and you're going to start seeing that you can actually start driving more leads from terms that may not have traditionally converted for you. And so with that, before we proceed, we're going to get into another quick poll question and then go into the rest of the webinar. So, Eliana, over to you.
Thank you, Orko. All right, audience, second of three poll questions is on the screen now. Yeah, please take a second to answer this question for us. Now that we've started talking about RLSA, we want to know, do you currently use Remarketing List for Search Ads as a part of your advertising strategy? Please select one of the following options. Yes, and it's working great for us. Yes, but we could admit we could use some improvement on it. You know what? We used to use RLSA, but we stopped a while ago. No, and we're not even sure how to use RLSA. Or you know what? I have no idea. My agency takes care of that. I'm not really sure what they're doing. That's fine, too. Get with us. Let us know what's going on at your dealership. We want to know if you're currently using RLSA as part of your current digital advertising strategy. And by the way, audience, we've already gotten in some really wonderful questions. So if you have yet to ask your question of Orko Chatterjee on anything having to do really with SEM, now's the time. I don't know how long it took me a long time to get him on my show. I don't know if I'm going to get him back again anytime soon. So let's get your questions in now. Let's see if we can help you with your search engine marketing strategy, okay? All right. Votes are coming in nice and fast. Audience, you never disappoint me. Thank you so much. I'll give you a few more seconds to get your votes in to let us know if you're using Remarketing List for Search Ads as part of your current digital advertising strategy. All right, Orko, hopefully you've gotten something to drink because you're doing great and you are talking a lot and you are laying out a lot of information today. Did you got something to drink?
I did.
You did. Okay, good. All right, well, let's close out this second poll question, see what the audience had to say. What do you think? I'm going to take that as a yes. All right, here we go. All right, do you currently use Remarketing List for Search Ads as a part of your current advertising strategy? Only 5% of today's audience said yes, and it's working great for us. The majority, however, 35% of today's audience say yes, but we could use some improvement on it. 10% of today's audience say that they used to use RLSA, but they stopped. Interesting. Now, a quarter of today's audience, 25%, said no, they don't use it, and they're not even sure how to use it. And then another quarter of today's audience, 25%, said they have no idea what their agency is doing. For all they know, they could be using it, or maybe they're not. They're not really sure. Orko, what is the right answer to this? I know we talked about RLSA, and it sounds like it's something that every dealership should be using.
Totally. And so not only should you be using it, you need to have an audience list per campaign in your AdWords account. And, you know, you could debate which audiences should be in what campaign. But again, like I said, audiences are valuable because these are people that are signaling very clearly that they're in market. And so you want to prioritize these people. You want to bid higher on them at any given point of time. And so make it a point to talk to your agency or if you're doing this in-house to try and test different variations. And so I noticed that a lot of them said that, you know, you may not have, you've tried this before, but it may not have worked. But remember that the entire conversation around RLSA and around audiences is evolving. And so feel free to test more and more. And if you're not comfortable necessarily bidding very high on these audiences, start with a smaller amount. Start by bidding 10% higher. Start by bidding 15% higher. And then as you A-B test your ads and as you A-B test how your campaigns are doing, you're going to be able to tell very quickly if this is working for you. But absolutely, if you're not doing it today or if you are not sure, please absolutely talk about it with your agency because this is the future. Audiences are the way that both Google and Facebook are pushing advertising in general, and it makes absolute sense. Because you want to spend your dollars on people that are likely to shop from you. That's a no-brainer. And so with that, I think I can continue. And let's sort of start diving into the other aspects or tips or tricks that you can use with audiences. And so, you know, at the beginning of the show, we talked about life events. And so this is relatively new. And so if you guys are, you know, if you're dealers that are in or around college towns where, you know, you have college students that are graduating or are recently graduated, you know, you can actually create target audiences for those specific people and then run an offer specifically with, you know, hey, congrats, you've graduated, here's an offer for you. We'll talk about how not to be super creepy in a little bit through the presentation, but you can absolutely leverage these tools and see what works for you and for your dealership. Another sort of thing that you can do, and this is sort of this is an evolving thought process. So I'll be very honest with you. Up till about a year ago, my thought process around how dealers should, you know, budget was, you know, you should have a branding budget, and your branding budget is display, YouTube, or Facebook, and then you have your leads budget, right, which is stuff that's going to get you leads or conversions, and then you have search, Facebook lead ads, and so on and so forth. And unfortunately, you know, as I talk to dealers across the country, a lot of dealers are still thinking about this the same way, is you have a brand budget, you have a traditional budget, you have a leads budget, and you have all these sort of buckets for your different budgets. Now, what I would start to urge you to think about is, you know, break down that wall and try thinking of it in terms of how can I use display or video to actually build audiences, right? How can I use them to find more in-market shoppers? And so, you know, if I don't have enough traffic, right, so if you're a dealership that only has about 4,000, 5,000 visits per month, try and find more audiences. Try and find more people that can fill those audiences by using video and display. And then once you do that, you can hyper-target them on search with RLSA and so on and so forth. And so here's an example of what we did with the dealership, right? And so you've probably gone through this scenario in one way or another. And so, you know, most dealerships have their own PMA, and then there is the market that they absolutely want to dominate, right, which is not part of their PMA, but they know it's lucrative because there's probably a weaker dealer there or people aren't. Or there's not a dealer exactly in those locations, so it's sort of halfway between you and the other dealer, but the OEM didn't put this in your PMA. And so typically what you will find is that you have a core market, which is the area of the highest profitability. These are, you know, these are where your bread and butter live. And what you're typically going to see is that your cost per click is about $2.50. Your quality score is, you know, 6.5 or 7 or higher out of a scale of 10. Your cost per acquisition is sub $25, and this is a great market to be in. But then there's that market that you want to be in, right? There's the market that you want to bump out, as Toyota would call it. So if you're a Toyota dealer that's on this show, you have, you know, Dealer Daily, you have access to Urban Science. You're probably seeing who's bumping in and who's bumping out, or where you're bumping out and where people are bumping in into your market. And so if you start thinking about the market that you want to be in or you want to expand to, those markets can be expensive, right? So the same sort of strategy, if you use the same keywords, you went on to search advertising, and you started advertising in those markets, you will typically find that your cost per click is a little bit higher because you're not the local dealer, your quality score is a little bit lower, and your cost per acquisition is a little bit higher. So what we did for this particular dealer was to say, okay, we're not necessarily going to go the search route in this particular market, in market B. And what we would do instead is we would start hammering that market with very specific display and video offers. We would build the audience list for people that were looking specifically for Camrys or for you know, this particular market, the hybrids are pretty hot. And so we built the list, and then when these people then went on to Google search and invariably started searching for a Prius, or they started searching for, you know, a RAV4, we were there with a very compelling offer saying, hey, you know, we have a special offer for you. We've built this audience. We know they're interested. Now they're coming on to Google search, and, here's your ability to actually not waste money on search, reduce your cost per click by a fraction of 3 or 4, and still build an audience that will buy from you in the market that you think is important or that you can bump out to, right, or where you can start selling into. And so I would really, really start urging you to stop looking at display or video as purely your branding budget. It's only one part of it is branding, but the other aspect of this is to intelligently use it to actually build your audience. And so thinking of, you know, custom intent audiences, so this is, again, a newer feature that was released by Google late 2017. Most people have just about started getting a hang of this now. And so what you can do here is Google and Facebook both offer what are called, you know, their own sort of automated audiences, right? So people that they think are in market, and those are very useful. If you want to sort of plug and play, absolutely feel free to use it. But then what Google's now started doing is you can create your own audiences. So you can mash up keywords and URLs together, which you think are indicative of people that are shopping in your market. And these are typically for display and video campaigns, not for search. You know, what you can do here is, so this is for a data dealer. They're in the market that we're in Bethesda, Maryland. We want to try and push the Toyota Camry because it is an important car to the dealership and to the Toyota brand in general. So we create, you know, specific keywords that we know people are going to, they're going to type in when they're searching. So new Toyota Camry, 2018 Toyota Camry lease, reviews, offers. And then I mash that up with websites that are typically indicative of shopping behavior. So we know that when people are on KBB, they're looking at, you know, either car values or trade-ins, TrueCar, same thing, AutoTrader, same thing. And then we also sort of sneak in the competitor's URL because that's something that you can do. And so you want to try and show Google, okay, this is the particular type of user that I am most keen on. And so this is also a way to reduce your waste on your display expenditure, right? So again, stop thinking of display purely as a branding medium and start thinking of it as a way to start building more powerful audiences, people that are ready to buy, people that may be in market, and start focusing your ad dollars to those users. That is an extremely critical aspect of things. And so with that, our third and final poll question of the day, and I'm going to turn that back over to Eliana, and then we will get into the last aspect of the webinar.
This is great. All right, here we go. Last question, audience. We want to know, how do you use display and video at your dealership? How are you doing it? Please select one of the following answers. Do you use display and video as a way to create brand awareness? Do you use it as a deliberate way to build audience pools? How about, wow, we don't use display, or do you use a combo of branding and deliberately building audience pools? Or you know what? It's the last answers on there, too, that you really don't know how you use display and video at your dealership. Once we have a majority of the votes in, we're going to close this poll and share the results. Wow, these votes are coming in super fast. All right, audience, you guys are great rock stars, all of you. Wait for a few more seconds for some more votes so that we know how everyone's using display and video currently. Currently at their dealership. All right. Also, great questions and comments have been coming in from you, audience. If you haven't gotten yours in yet, what are you waiting for? Get those questions in. We're going to be getting to the Q&A session very shortly, and we're looking forward to helping you with your digital advertising. All right. Audience, we're going to close this poll and share the results. Orko, are you ready for this?
Yep.
Before I give you the answers, I'm just curious, is there a right or wrong answer? Because I'm going to ask you after I tell you the results.
There is not. I mean, a lot of this is thinking that is still evolving, so there's not a right or wrong answer.
All right, here we go. Audience had to say, the majority, wow, more than half, 53%, say currently they use display and video as a way to create brand awareness. No one said they used it as a deliberate way to build audience pools. 11% of today's audience say that they don't do display, but almost a third of today's audience say they use it as a combo of branding and building audience pools, and then 5% admit They have no idea how they're using display and video at their dealership. Orko?
All right. Awesome. So it's not, like I said, there's not one right answer here, but I would absolutely urge you to start thinking of this as a deliberate way to build audiences and to conquest other markets that may be very expensive to do just via traditional search. Okay, so we're going to go into a quick case study, right? So, you know, how does all this sort of tie together? So I'm not going to go into the specific dealership. We're actually doing a case study with Google, so to respect the process, we're not going to name the dealership, but that study will come out in a couple of months, and we'd be happy to share it with everyone here. This is a Toyota dealer. Their goal was to actually improve conversions and drive store visits. They're in a major metro in North Carolina. They typically spend about $40,000 a month across search, video, and display. And so what we did for them was we created audiences by profit center. So we created a new car segment specifically for sedans, SUVs, and trucks. We uploaded loyalty customer lists, so for Google Customer Match and Facebook Custom Audiences. We created a weekly missed prospect list, and we started uploading those. We actually dedicated a budget to audience building, so we dedicated about $8,000 a month to display and video, and then we started bidding almost 25 to 50% higher on anyone that was on an audience list, right? And so as a result of that, what we started seeing was that there was almost an increase of 41% in store visits.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. A 34% increase in conversions. And almost a 15% increase in sales when we tracked it year over year. So a quick note about store visits. Store visit conversions are a new conversion type that is starting to become available in Google AdWords. And these are activated on a case-by-case basis. Not every dealer is eligible to get these. But when you do, these are illuminating, right? Because as a dealership, you always want to know how many people actually showed up on your lot. So in this particular dealer's instance, we have been able to activate store visits for the dealership. And the way you can actually do that is, you know, part of it is by linking your Google My Business and AdWords account. And you also need to have a certain volume of visitors and conversions and just general click volume and traffic to your store for this to be activated in your account. But definitely, if you are a dealership that's spending, you know, north of $8,000, this is something that could be available to you over the course of the next year. And again, this is not something any agency can promise you that you will see. It is absolutely on a case-by-case basis, and it is at the discretion of Google. Google will not activate these unless they have almost a 99% confidence in the data that is coming in here.
Okay, I got to stop you here. I mean, I think any dealership would be happy with half of those results. Those were amazing. The $8,000 that you spent on there, was that reallocated from someplace else, or was that like a new $8,000? I said, you know what, we're going to try this and stick $8,000 where you tell us.
That's a great question. So I think it was a mix of both. So this particular dealership had about a $40,000 budget. You know, so we reallocated about 4,000 of that from somewhere else. And then the other 4,000 came from new budgets that we added. So it was a mix of both.
That's fabulous. I honestly did not know you could boost showroom visits by 40% from one campaign. That is amazing.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a combination of efforts across the account. So, you know, we had to optimize it. We had to look at which audiences to use, what sort of conversion tracking we had, and you know, it was a combined effect of strategy that was built over a couple of months. So, I mean, to be clear, there is not a, you know, it's not a magic wand. You have to put in the hard work to,
right,
you know, do this carefully, and absolutely, you should start seeing those results.
My goodness! All right. Oh, you got me excited now. All right, where are we going from here?
Yeah. So the last part of this presentation, right, so we're talking a lot about consumer data. We're talking a lot about understanding user behavior. And so, you know, almost instantly, if you were to flip yourself from being a marketer or a dealer into the shoes of your consumer, you would probably go, oh my God, that is creepy, right? And it's something that I have to live with every single day. So what is important is to start respecting the consumer for who they are. And so there's a company called InMoment that actually did a survey, and 75% of consumers find that most forms of personalization are at least somewhat creepy. And that is something that you absolutely have to keep in mind as you start going down this path of delivering useful ads to your consumers. And, you know, if you guys have been following the news lately, you know that Mark Zuckerberg testified in front of Congress. There's this whole thing about Cambridge Analytica. There are new laws and policies that are changing. In Europe, there's now what is called GDPR, which is a new set of regulations that was imposed across the EU, which basically gave EU citizens the ability to explicitly opt in or opt out of how you can use their data. And while that doesn't affect us in the U.S. today, there's no reason to think that, you know, a couple of scandals later, that's not the path that we're going to be down on. And Facebook has sort of rolled out or is about to roll out certification tools for custom audiences. So you can't willy-nilly sort of upload email lists to Facebook anymore. You actually have to certify that you have the right to use that consumer's data. And so with that, you know, what can you do to build trust? And so you have to understand the line between useful and creepy ads, right? And so a classic example that I give our dealers is you have ads that I've seen on Facebook that basically say, in market for a new Corolla, here's an offer, right? And so at that point, it could be very jarring for a consumer that is actually in market for a Corolla where you say, oh my God, how did they know? But your ad could as easily be subtle about it. You have great deals on the new Corolla, and, you know, if you contact us between this and this period, we have a special offer for you. Far less creepy, more useful, and not as direct, right? That's what you have to keep in mind. Second, ensure that your agency has clear data usage policies. So if you're transmitting information to them, whether it's from your CRM or your DMS, how are they handling that data? Are they encrypting that data? Are they actually destroying that data after it's been used? And then finally, make sure that you have a privacy policy that clearly outlines how and where a consumer's data will be used. And so if you do these things, you're on the right path to building trust. Right? And so with that, we're going to go into some of the resources that you guys can use. If you're interested in learning about audiences, Google has some great resources. You can go to the Google Ads Academy. You can use Think with Google. They always have great stuff there. PDP Echo is an interesting site which tells you about privacy laws around the world, including the U.S., so if you want to keep an eye on those, you can do that. And then Harvard Business Review actually has a great article about, you know, ads that don't overstep certain boundaries, and I definitely urge everybody to give it a read. And so with that, we're going to get into the action items and takeaways from this, right? So one, create meaningful audiences in Google and Facebook, either by customer lifecycle or your revenue centers, right? So by your new car department, used car department, fixed ops, finance. Adopt RLSA and similar audiences immediately. Every campaign in Google should have an appropriate RLSA or audience list associated with it. And again, don't be afraid to experiment. Ask your agency if your account can qualify for store visits, right? This is an important thing that is going to be rolled out. You act as a dealer want to actually start seeing how many people visited your store. Change the way you think about display and video. Stop looking at it purely as a branding tool. And then create ads which delight and offer value and are not very creepy and in your face. Right? And finally, treat your consumer's data as you would your own. So treat it with care, treat it with concern, and treat it with respect. And so with that, we're going to go into, Eliana, is it going to be the giveaway or the Q&A first?
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much. All right. Orko, amazing presentation. Sit down, take a drink. You've talked a lot this last hour. Let me talk to the audience just for a little bit, and then we'll get right back to you, Orko. All right, audience, so you've heard this amazing presentation from Orko Chatterjee. And I know you have questions. So if you haven't gotten in your question yet, send it on in. We're going to get to the Q&A session in just a moment. Before we do, though, I want to direct your attention over to the handouts section of the GoToWebinar interface. In that handouts section, you're going to find the A1 handout that you need today because it has every bit of information that you need. It's today's slide deck from Orko himself. So that handout is in the GoToWebinar interface. It's available for immediate download, and you have until the end of this broadcast to get it for yourself. If for whatever reason you are having trouble downloading that handout, that's all right. Email me directly at eliana@dealeron.com, and I'll get it over to you. All right? All right, let's get to a giveaway. That's right. I wish I had some game show music. I don't. Orko, you could probably hum something if you felt like it. But it's that time. If you missed it at the beginning of the webinar, I announced our good friends over at AutoHook are sponsoring this week's webinar giveaway. AutoHook is a showroom traffic driver. They've built the ultimate attribution engine. It tracks that customer through the lead, the showroom visit, and the purchase, and then delivers a cost per sale that's best in the industry. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win a $125 e-gift card from AutoHook. All you have to do is get to your keyboards, get ready, be the first person to write in the correct response to our giveaway question, and you are going to be our winner today. Now, if you're a vendor, we love having you on the Dealer On webinars, and we thank you so much for being here today. But we are going to ask you to kindly sit this one out. This prize is intended for dealership personnel only. All right, everyone, here we go. Cameron, insert dating game theme song here. That's right. Orko, you can hum that if you want. That'll really help us out. All right, everyone, good luck. Here we go. I hope you're a fast typer. According to Google research, returning visitors to your site are likely to convert higher by a factor of how much? That's right, Joel Shetler. You were the first person to write in two times. Congratulations, Joel Shetler. I am writing your name down. It is official. Congratulations, Joel Shetler. You have won yourself a $125 e-gift card from our good friends over at AutoHook. Now, right on in. Let me know what dealership you're from so I can give you a proper congratulations. And now, audience, I know, your name's not Joel, mine isn't either. We didn't win the big prize today, but you know what? It's okay. We give away cool prizes every week here on the Dealer On webinars, so come on back to another Dealer On webinar for your chance for a great giveaway, all right? But for right now, big shout out to Joel Shetler from Ford of Columbia. Congratulations. Spend it unwisely, as I like to say, and enjoy. And of course, we got to thank our good friends over at AutoHook for their incredible generosity. For more information about AutoHook, please check out driveautohook.com. All right, Orko, are you ready for this? We got some great questions that came in from the audience, just a handful of great questions for you, and then we'll close out the show. So audience, sit tight with us. I know we're past the top of the hour, but you're not going to want to miss the answers to these great questions. All right, actually, our very first question comes from today's winner, Joel. He actually has the first question in the queue. He wants to know, Orko, how can a lookalike or similar audience be geo-targeted to just our market region?
So, good question. So typically your audience will be associated with the campaign that you're running, right? And so let's assume you have a new car campaign. You create an audience for, you know, people that are searching for sedans, and then you could create a similar audience for people searching for sedans. So your geo-targeting will be based on your campaign settings, and so the audience will just follow based on whatever your campaign setting is. So if you decide that it's going to be, you know, 10 zip codes in your market, then that's what that will pull from or market.
All right, thank you so much. And Joel, if you have a follow-up question on that, please let us know. All right, next question. Now, this is a pretty long question, so let me go through the whole thing. Cameron definitely took the time to type this out, so I want to make sure. Okay, real fast. Cameron, before I get to your question, Joel did have a follow-up question. Joel says, what about for Facebook?
It would use the same principle. So if you uploaded the custom audience, the audience or the lookalike would have to be associated with the campaign or the ad set that you're creating in Facebook. And so Facebook gives you the options to both choose zip codes or PMAs or, you know, particular cities or radiuses. So whatever you define at the campaign level is what will follow from there. And this is applicable both to Google and Facebook. But that was your question.
Yes. Okay, Joel, thank you so much. He says thanks. All right. Let's get to Cameron's questions. Pretty long. All right. Here we go. Looking at Facebook posting or boosting, from what I've learned from Dealer on Webinars and other sources, our dealership should be looking at what our customers and audience want to see. For instance, blog posts, vehicle info, service specials, etc. And that's what I've been posting. However, my boss, the owner, has asked me to stop the blog, stop the service specials, stop the creativity, and simply post a dozen inventory pictures and write a short message saying things like, all credit situations okay, easy approval, low down payment, etc. He said there are a few smaller dealerships in the area that only post like that on Facebook, and do no other advertising, and they're selling half as many cars a month as we do with Facebook advertising, Google AdWords, radio, TV, mailers, etc. Is he right? Should I super simplify my posts and dump the blog? What do you got, Orko? This is for Cameron.
So that's a really hard one for me, you know, sitting in D.C., not fully knowing your market. But the way I would approach that if I were in your seat would be, you know, I would A-B test it, right? So this is a similar situation to when my bosses come and tell me to do something that I don't necessarily agree with. But what I tend to do in those cases is to say, okay, let me give what you're saying a shot, then let me prove out what I've been doing. And then compare the results. I mean, that's the only fair way for me to come back with a cogent argument for my point. But that being said, I would say that, you know, moving away from using audiences in an era where you want to spend your money on people that are most likely to buy may not be the wisest move. But that being said, you know, feel free to test it out. And that way, at least you have data to take back to your boss or your owner and prove out the concept.
I think that is a wise and prudent advice. Cameron, we certainly do wish you – Cameron says, doesn't his method seem a bit more old school?
Yes. A simple answer would be yes. But at the end of the day, you know, he is the owner. He is the boss. So I would say if I were in your shoes – I would just be careful, right? So that would be my approach.
Okay, but to be fair, Orko, you wouldn't do it that way.
Nope.
Nope. Okay, that's what we wanted to know. All right, Cameron, we wish you the best of luck. I hope it works out for you. Okay, just a few more questions, and then we'll start closing out the show. Now, Stephanie, from what I've gathered, is in Canada. And Stephanie had a few different things to say. So first of all, she says, what is the average CPC cost per click on those conquest campaigns that you talked about earlier?
Yep. So what we typically find is that your cost per click in for conquest in general is roughly somewhere between $7 and $10, right? So the difference then becomes, are you conquesting with or without audiences? And what we tend to find is when you're doing it with audiences, your click-through rate becomes close to 10 to 15%, where if you're not doing it with audiences, it's close to 2 or 3%. And so from a conversion perspective, we actually start seeing that conquest campaigns with audiences start converting close to 2%, 2.5%, whereas when you're not doing it with audiences or it's not targeted specifically, they may not convert at all. So there's one aspect to look at, which is cost per click, which can be high, which is $7 to $10. But then there's cost per acquisition or cost per lead, which when you're starting to look at it, you know, it could be anywhere between $75 to $100 from a product perspective. But it's $75 to $100 to eat somebody else's lunch, which not necessarily the worst place to be. But, yes, absolutely. I mean, the other thing to note, though, is conquest should be something you do after you have a really solid foothold in your key campaigns. So your brand campaign, your regional campaign, your key new car campaigns or used car campaigns. And when you want to start expanding and you have the budgets to do it, absolutely use Conquest for RLSA.
Okay. Stephanie has some follow-up questions, too. Stephanie loves what you had to say. Oh, by the way, she says thank you. But she says, we don't have life event targeting for AdWords here in Canada. What do I do?
That's interesting. So I guess my question would be, are you using the old AdWords interface or the new AdWords interface? Because life events is only available in the new interface of AdWords. And unfortunately, if you can't access the new AdWords interface, you may have to wait a little bit longer.
Okay, she says currently she's using the beta new interface.
Well, then I guess it's just a question of waiting until it becomes available. But just because I haven't seen what you're seeing on your end,
right.
Go into your in-market audiences and see if you can find that within your in-market audiences. But if you drill down further into in-market audiences, it should be there. If not, I guess it's just, waiting till Google releases it in that market.
Okay, yeah, she says, probably isn't available for us just yet. Okay, last one from Stephanie says, is radial targeting not effective because it's too broad? Should we stop it altogether?
Oh, that fantastic question. So, no, don't stop it because Canada is a wildly different market from where I am in D.C., for example, right? So where you have dense populations, where people and their three dealerships, right? So I'll give you an example. A classic example is we have a Toyota dealership in Bethesda. There's another Toyota dealership in Rockville, and there's another Toyota dealership up the road in Frederick or Gaithersburg. And these cities are all 15 minutes drives from one another. And so in that case, if you're doing radius, it is wasteful, and you're probably better off trying to do this by zip code. But in markets where it is either rural or you have a population problem, I would say, it probably isn't a good idea to move away from radiuses without actually testing the zip code strategy. So I would say do an A/B test for 14 days and see if radiuses actually provide a better result for you in Canada and your market. But radiuses are typically okay and acceptable and actually do pretty well in markets where you have, where people either have to drive large distances or where the population density is lower.
Okay. And Stephanie says, true that. Thank you for your feedback. Okay. let me see. Now, what was this? Okay. So just a couple last questions, and then we will start closing out the show. Casey wrote in, what's your suggestion for targeting when your target population is under 50,000? Okay, specifically for Facebook. So you just answered his question, I believe. Did you have anything to add for Casey?
No, I mean, I think population density absolutely should drive your decisions, but tie that in with, so you want to validate that that is actually true. And your CRM or your DMS are the best places to do it. So pull a list from your DMS of all your sold data for the last 2 years. Pull your gross profit, both front end and back end. You can run a pivot table very quickly after that that shows you by zip code, what your most profitable areas are. Plot them on a map, and then you will see if the radius that you've been targeting makes sense or if you need to expand it further, or if you don't need radiuses at all. So absolutely validate it with the data that already exists in your dealership.
Fantastic. All right, Casey, good luck with that. All right, last question comes in from Sharpie. He wants to know, can you really get away with bringing up credit on Facebook? Or is that a bad idea? Should we not bring up credit on Facebook?
That is a bad idea. And like we discussed, right, I mean, we have to treat user data and ad personalization the way we would want it for ourselves. And so if I knew your credit and I tried to target you and then tried to make a, ads around it, it might be a little bit uncomfortable. So again, if you can message with a certain degree of subtlety, yeah, feel free, go for it. But I would I would avoid any ads that, you know, either point to the fact that you know, or, you know, elude the fact that you're aware that somebody may be in a credit challenge situation.
Yeah, Cameron, this goes back to your question, my friend. All right, Orko, that was our last question of the day. Fantastic presentation, my friend. You are brilliant. And audience, I just want to say, if you have SEM questions or ideas that you want to run past Orko, you can see how smart and brilliant he is. His contact information is on the screen. Well, Orko, you changed the screen. But his contact information is on the screen. Reach out to him and see if we can help you with your search engine marketing and what you're doing at your dealership and get you some better results than you're getting right now. We certainly would love that, wouldn't we, Orko?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Any last thing you want to say to the audience regarding digital marketing, anything like that before I close out the show?
Well, nothing but thank you, and thanks for taking the time. And if you have questions, absolutely feel free to reach out.
I love it. All right, audience, I want to remind you a link to download a copy of today's webinar recording is going to be emailed to you later today for your reference. Feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. It was a great one. Today's webinar is also going to be posted online within 24 hours. Just go to dealeron.com/webinar to view our upcoming webinar schedule or access any of our past webinars too. And at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to get a short survey. You just don't know what to do, Orko.
So
fill it out. It is three short questions. We want to know what you thought of today's presentation. I mean, I loved it, but they don't care what I think. They want to know what you think. So please make sure you let us know. Give us your feedback. We'd really like to know, all right? And if you're a Ford dealer, that's right, you only have 1 week left before the Ford Direct website program enrollment period expires on April 30th. So if you'd like to work with the best website provider in the program, that's right, Dealeron, well, you only have 1 week left. So get in touch with me after the show and let me see how I can help you get into that program. And invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next Dealeron webinar. Oh, it's a doozy, too. 5 steps to creating a rockstar lead conversion process. So it's Bobby Heron, people. If you've ever been on one of her webinars, you know she does not waste time. She is lightning fast. So we want to know, are you ready to step up your lead handling game and increase your results? Well, we asked automotive rockstar Bobby Heron to share 5 advanced lead handling steps that would boost engagement and increase sales. Challenge accepted. In this 1 hour, lightning fast, highly captivating, jam-packed with information webinar, Bobby's going to teach you why a source matters, how a streamlined process can give you 30% more time in your day, and how to make more conversations with potential customers. Attendees of this incredible presentation will learn how to stand out from the crowd, processes for different types of leads, think trade versus finance app, and what kind of messaging works for separate sources. For instance, what kind of messaging you should use for calls as opposed to emails, etc. And some email examples that create engagement and responses. This presentation is not for the faint of heart. Only join if you can handle the endless onslaught of knowledge bombs. Don't miss this chance to hear from one of the brightest stars in the automotive industry if you're ready to learn 5 steps to creating a rockstar lead conversion process and make big money. Then don't miss this presentation. Register now, and don't forget, Dealeron's weekly webinars are held Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions regarding our webinars and our topics, feel free to connect with me directly. I'd love to hear from you. My name is Eliana Raggio, and I'm on all of the automotive social networks. I'm everywhere online, Facebook, Twitter, Google+. Or you know what? Shoot, just email me directly at eliana@dealeron.com. Thank you all so very much for spending this time with us today, and I hope to see you all on another webinar in Dealeron's continuing education series. Take care, everyone. Have a great day.